Good evening. Thanks for making time tonight and to dive into God's Word. Maybe you already saw the email from our brother Jim that Esther is home from hospital today, and thank you each of you and praying for Esther. And it really speaks loud about the body of Christ being all one and seeking our Lord and in prayer. So thank you so much, and for all the different supports. I know good food was not missing from some of the family, body of Christ in here, so thank you so much. So we are in the Corinthians, and when Ray told me last week, he's like, hey, I'm looking for someone else to do the message next week, and I was like, well, it's a busy season, and it's one of those moments that when you start to commit initially, you are like, what did I do? And then once you dive into the scripture, you really get so much out of it. And God speaks in different ways. So I appreciate for Ray giving this opportunity. So 1 Corinthians, I mean, we have already touched the points before, and I'm just gonna briefly highlight the 1 Corinthians. We know that Paul stayed at Corinthians for a year and a half, and he started the church in there. He was going in synagogues and sharing the gospel, and there were people that really got saved. And so that was when the church started forming, and then after that, Paul started moving to other areas sharing the gospel. But then he started hearing about the issues and problems that were within the church, concerns. And so Paul writes the letter. And so when he writes the letter, he comes as a father, because he was the one sharing the gospel. They are his children that he really was taking care of. And he comes with that authority that he speaks with love, but also the truth and the grace. But we see this pattern of always pointing out the problem, bring the solution in the lens of the gospel, and how the body should be thinking, living a Christian life, and being more as like Christ, and how the body of Christ should work together in unity. So that's when we saw in the chapter 1-4, Paul talking about the unity, because there was division within the church. And then we see from chapter 5-7 that we have about the sexual immorality within the church. And so really the Corinthians, I know it's been mentioned, but it was very well known for doing a different lifestyle, and that was a God-honoring lifestyle. And as I was doing some researching, a commentary from Bridge Bible from Don Fleming mentioned the reputation of Corinth City was so bad that a person of loose morals, as was mentioned, like, oh, they're behaving like Corinthians. And so it was a fame and name around there. The Greeks were there, the Jewish that were coming. It was a very economical center, so there was a high traffic. And so just for a big picture, because it's going to help us as we continue touching 1 Corinthians chapter 6 today. I know I'll not have answers for some of the things, but you know, that's when you guys can help me too, from your experience into the God's Word. So I'm going to read, we're going to go only through the 11 first verses of chapter 6. I'm going to read it, and then we can get each verse one by one. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother go to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? No, you yourself do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. You see a Paul that comes really with questions, and you are going to notice in there that he's repeating, "Do you not know?" It's mentioned like five times in this passage, "Do you not know?" And I'm going to just read a few. "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? Do you not know that the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God? And do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ?" I mean, this approach of Paul, "Do you not know?" Don't we do it sometimes with, I do it with my kids. He's like, "Don't you know better? Don't you know that at 8 o'clock you have to be at school?" Right? You know, we already had talked about it, but you failed to execute it. You failed to really hold to that knowledge. Don't you know it's a garbage day today, and you failed to even take the garbage out, right? And we get reminded. So that kind of language is Paul is mentioning, because there's some truth into what he wants to point out. And he starts with, "Dare any of you." Now, "dare any of you," it's a heavy word. "Dare any of you" is doing, and he's going to talk about what. And he's talking with authority because he knows that there's going to be some truth into the reality of the church in Corinth. So he's saying, so what is the problem? The problem is having the matters against one another. Is that a problem? Is that a problem if we have issues with one another? I mean, we can talk with each other. What do you guys think? Is there a problem that we have issues with one another? No. No, I think it matters and issues are going to come up. We have different viewpoints, sometimes with misunderstandings. It doesn't mean that there is a fault always. It's just we are humans, we do mistakes, but it is important to deal with matters. Paul is not talking not to deal with the matters, not to discuss, not to come to a resolution, but he's talking about we are bringing these issues to the law. And it's not go to law, but it's go to law before the unrighteous. So, who are the unrighteous? The unrighteous is someone that does not do what is right. They are not unjustified before God, are the unbelievers. And they have a different set of standards that don't meet the standard of God, of the righteousness of God. And what are you doing? You are bringing your brother. You are bringing your brother. Well, why is called a brother? Because he's your brother in Christ. You are one family. And instead, what are you doing? You are bringing to the unrighteous. You know, Paul had an, if we see Acts 18, I'm just going to skip really quick in there, but Acts 18 is happening that Paul was going to synagogues and speaking in there, and then it's happening that as he continued there, I'm going to just read it quick, for a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. And they were saying, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. And listen to what an unrighteous person is also mentioning here, but the Jew are bringing Paul into that presence. And so when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoings of wicked crimes, O Jews, there will be reasons why I should bear with you. He has not done any crime. He has not killed anyone. Why are you bringing it to me? O Jews, there will be a reason why I should bear with you. But it is a question of words and names and on your law, on or your own law, sorry. Look at it yourself. Deal with it by yourself. For I do not want to be a judge of such matters. I mean, and then we see that a person got beaten there. They took he was the leader of synagogue in there. What is happening? Jews are coming together and they're bringing someone to the Roman leader in there. And I don't hold on my word, but as I was reading, I think he was the nephew of Nero, something like that. Maybe someone knows more. And Nero really was also living a life of really going with men, young boys. So it's like there is a lifestyle that even the leadership is doing in the Roman Empire. And even he is like, I don't want to deal with you. Is that bringing unity in the Jew community? No, it's just showing division. How about in the church, the body of Christ? People are watching. You guys are doing something different that the other people are doing. So that's when Paul is pointing. This is the problem. And then he's saying some truth. He's moving and he's saying, I want to tell you. He's saying, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Okay, hold on. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Who are the saints? We are. We don't use that much often, that we are saints nowadays. And it's a truth, it's an identity. And Paul, when he's writing the letter in the beginning, he's saying, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, those are the ones that are called to be saints, the ones that are justified in Christ Jesus. We are the saints in Christ, not because of what we have done, right? And so he's saying, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? He's saying that you have an identity and you are going to be doing, you are going to have a role. And you are going to be judging others. And you are not in the standard of unrighteous. You are on the standard of being righteous because of Christ. And because you want to be as Christ, you know that you are going to have a better standing on the right things. You are going to be judging the world. And I know I was digging the scriptures in here, and it talks about the millennium. And so we are going to be with Christ, and we are going to be reigning with Christ, and we are going to be, and when you see the word judging, there is different meaning, but it comes from the Greek word krino, which means to discern or decide, and also has, it refers also condemnation. And so we are going to be discerning, we are going to be deciding when someone is doing according to their actions. And then he's moving on and he's saying, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? You are going to be judging the world and you cannot handle these little things. It's pretty much like saying, are you choking on a teaspoon? This is such small matters. And then he's moving on. And he's saying, Do you not know that we shall judge angels? That's another big passage. Angels. Angels are angelic beings, and they have a purpose. And who am I to be judging angels? Angels are supposed to be serving to us. They're serving to God, but also they're watching around us. But we are going to be judging them. And I'm sure here he's talking about, I need to find my paper in here, but he's talking about the angels, the fallen one, the one that with Satan are, Jude chapter 1 verse 6 is saying, and the angels who did not stay with their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. So we know that Satan is going to be judged, but also the demonic angels are going to be judged. And don't you know that you are going to be dealing with eternal matters, and you cannot deal with temporary matters, with such small things? And you want to bring your brother to the court? Why do you want to bring them to the court? Do you want to, with the idea that you want to win, because that's what you're going to do? Yeah, you won. But what did you do? You put your brother down. Well, what did you do? You really created division within the church. What did you do? You didn't really raise the name of Christ. And so, how much more things that pertain to this life? And if then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? And he's pretty much saying, you are appointing these people that are at least, that are unrighteous to judge the things of the church. You don't want to do that. That's not the right place. So when you see so far, I mean, aren't we glad that there is a way? So Paul wants to continue moving forward. He's going to give a solution. How we can do that? Well, he's saying, I said this to your shame. It sounds like this has already happened in the church. I said this to your shame, that this has already happened. A brother has been taken. It is so that there is not a wise man among you. Oh, here's one solution. Is there any brother among you that is wise? Not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? Don't we remember on what happened to the church on in the book of Acts in the beginning? There were a need, and there were chosen seven men that were filled with the Holy Spirit that will be serving. And today our church, we have elders and deacons. So I got maybe a question for Jim and Fred. Don't you think you have saved some court cases, and Joel, by believers coming and talking with you to get wisdom and how to handle situations? I'm sure there are things that you don't want to share in here in respect, but have you helped situations that could have gone to court? Right? And praise God. So what was Jesus teaching? What was Jesus teaching about when to handle the problems with each other? To talk to your brother one-on-one, and if he doesn't listen, bring another brother or two or three to testify, to come alongside, and then bring it to the church, so that there is a way to go and just take care within those matters. But brothers go to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. That's the sad reality that Paul is mentioning. Now, therefore, verse 7, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Okay, here's another solution. Why you don't accept that, you accept wrong? You know, I did it. Why, instead of going to the court just and dealing with that, And it seems like we are not coming to the resolution. Just accept wrong. When you have done wrong, accept you have done wrong. I mean, we're dealing here with lawsuit, but we're dealing also with lust. And we're like, well, where's lust in here? Well, if I'm taking someone to the court, I want to win my righteous. I want to win. So it's something about me. And so it turns into a more selfish thing. And in this chapter, I mean, the transition between chapter 5, he's already talking about the immoral sexuality, things that are happening within the church. So he's transitioning into judge within the body of Christ. That's within the church he's talking on chapter 5, judge the one that is going with a stepmother. But he's saying, don't not take them to the court, but take care of things within. But as you are taking care of things within, rather, don't you want to accept wrong when you know that there is no solution or resolution? Just accept when you've done wrong. Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? Oh, that's the other viewpoint. That is the hardest part, actually, because I'm sure most of us, or all of us, we don't want to let to be cheated. I mean, let's get to the truth, and I don't want it to be cheated. But that is a challenging place to be. And verse 9: Do you not know that the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God? These people that you are going to the court, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They are not saved. They have not trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And why do you want them to judge into the bread and the body of Christ? So here he's making a point that they are not ours. Do not be deceived. Because you are looking at these people that they are going to hold the righteous, the truth. Do not be deceived, is Saint Paul. And then he's saying, neither fornication, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, or revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And these are the unrighteous. These are the practices that are happening. These are the people that are holding the law and are above the law, and you are going to these people. Aren't we far away today? Isn't that the same situation in today, where we are? We see a lot of this unrighteous that is in here. It's still happening. It's also being promoted. The month of June is coming and it's promoted. And God is about loving sinners, but not loving sin. But when someone is about pride above the sin, that is not a place where to be, and you don't want to allow them to judge over. So verse 11. I love verse 11 because verse 11 is a transformation. He's making a statement, and some of you were such were some of you. But that is a but. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Now, what do we want to say about that? You were such this unrighteous, but there is an opportunity that you got encountered with Jesus. You were cleansed through the blood of Jesus. You were washed. You were sanctified. And what does it mean? Again, you are saints, you were sanctified, you were set apart, You are holy. You are being removed by this unrighteous life to set apart to for a purpose. And you were justified. Oh, the word justified. Who gets justified? Someone that is already was in the court system and that is being judged for something and deserves a judgment and has been justified. And that's you, Corinthians, the body of Christ in Corinth. And that is also for us, Wauwatosa Bible Chapel. In the name of the Lord Jesus, yes, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So what did you can share with me, what did you saw in this scripture that in or a question that comes out? Today they say there are judges that are actually Christian. Why we don't do that? Go to the court, there are Christian judges. Why we don't do that? On civil matters. I mean, there are some criminal matters that the government is gonna, it's not us to do that. Government will come right away. Can you, any of you can help me with that?
What was the question, Martin?
The question is, you know, today, let's say, here the scripture is saying, you are taking, don't take your brother to the court, to the unrighteous people. Today we have judges that are Christian. Why we don't take them to a brother there? I know the answer, the first answer, but we are talking about a judge that is righteous today. Testimony. Yeah. The testimony gets hurt. It's true. Unity gets affected. I can tell you this, that I know this topic today is not division, but it is included in division. And when I was in Albania, I experienced to be part of the division. Is the hardest part to be sitting in the pew in here and seeing two brothers or more. And it wasn't about viewpoints, it was about ego, it was about positions. And there were believers that just got saved, just got baptized. It's very sad to experience that. And it doesn't help to honor and glorify the name of Jesus, and for the young believers to really say, what is the difference between them and the world? But really what Paul is bringing back, the same thing like we mentioned in the beginning, he points a problem that is in the church of Corinth, and then he reasons, he gives solutions based on the lens of the gospel, and so the body of Christ is more Christ-like. So I would love to read one more time these 11 verses, but I'm going to try it differently. I'm going to read it a little bit more with, because when you read the scripture, you do not hear the tone of Paul. And I'm gonna try to make a little bit of a tone of, you know, the authority as a father figure, Paul towards the church. Dare any of you having a matter against one another? If you go to the law before the unrighteous, and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Do you? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Brothers, do you not know that we shall judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Listen, if then you have judgments concerning things that pertain to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. This is for your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one? Come on, brothers, no, there is not even one? I know you. There is even one in here that you can go on. Not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brothers, go to our law against another brother and that before unrighteous believers under... What are you doing? Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to the law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? No, you yourself do wrong and cheat. And you do these things to your brethren. You are already doing it. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? My brothers, do not be deceived. What are you doing? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, and neither idolaters, nor adulterers, or homosexuals, or sodomites, or these thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, revilers, extortioners will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But we were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God.
And it's just a reminder that we need to go back to Christ as we are dealing problems in situations, seeing him when he, Philippians 2, chapter 5 to 11 is a great reminder of Jesus' humility that he had to persevere things with the purpose to really glorify the God the Father. So, any questions?
The last reference there?
Ephesians 2, no, Philippians 2, I'm sorry, 11, yes, 5 to 11.
Thank you.
All right. I went through that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.